Is this on? My name is Logan, and I cannot wait to be baptized.
Hey, everybody, come join me this Sunday. This Sunday?
Baptism is nervous but fun. We don't really have anything else planned after this, so I could talk all day. I want you to come to baptize and join us and see what it's like to get baptized in the water.
Hi, my name is Precious, and I'm 33 years old, and I can't wait to get baptized.
My name is Austin Shaw. I am 13 years old, and I want everyone to come celebrate with me as I get baptized this Sunday.
My name is Mike. I'm 32 years old, and I can't wait to be baptized.
Cancel all your plans and come join us. Please come join me. I'd love to see you there.
So is there anything else we need to do?
Welcome to our next lead pastor. I don't know if you've met him or not. His name is Logan, and he's going to start driving this bus before long, and that'll be a good thing. This is a really special day. I know you've already heard that. You're picking up on that. We're going to talk about this. If you're visiting, if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're joining us mid-rivers, Grants Trail, Fenton, around the world, welcome. This is a big day, and it's big for many reasons, right? Let's go ahead and say it one more time. To all you dads out there, happy Father's Day, right? I mean, we're just grateful. I know for me, it's just the best job in the world. May your day be filled with new ties and old spice all day long. So, told you every time. You didn't think that was going to work, but I want to talk to us a little bit about some news, and you've already heard some of this news. But today really is about good news. You've already heard that the opening song is about good news. What is new? What's the best news you've ever heard? Can you think of that? Like right now, just think of it. In fact, just lean over to somebody real quickly, like, and you go, yeah, you know, this is probably the best news I've heard recently, or maybe it was the best news ever. You got one? What's good news? Go ahead, just lean over to somebody. We won't have any big discussions today, but just good news. Anybody got anything? I'm going to ask you guys in just a second.
Huh?
You.
I got nothing.
I really don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I got something, but it's not good.
Anybody real quickly? Anybody out here got anything for me like really, really good news? Anybody got anything for me that's like the bestest news ever? Anybody got anything? No? You're doing an awful lot of talking for nobody having good news. By the way, aren't these great? We have these easy seats down here in all of our settings. So you guys just think of these like the green seats at the Cardinals game, okay? So anything you need, you can just order it. It's just cool. Nobody will bring it to you, but you can order it. But some of you are like, oh, I didn't see those seats. Well, you get here early. So anybody have like really good news? Yeah. Your dad's getting baptized. Yeah. There you go. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yes. Pardon? You're cancer free. Yes. Yes. You don't have cancer. Yes, that's right. So you're free of it. Yes, it didn't. The test came back negative. Is that a way to put it? Yeah, and that's really good news, isn't it? I want to come back to that in just a second. That idea of news. Yes, sir.
We just celebrated our 50th anniversary.
That works. That works. Any of you guys up here want to get in on this? Like good news. Good news lately. Yes.
I'm gonna be a grandmother.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're too young to be a grandmother, right?
You are too.
Yeah, technically I won't be a grandmother, so, but yes, you're right. Okay, so all of these are good news. Now, let's dial it in one more notch. What is news? Please don't go political on me. Don't get all snarky on me, okay? What is news? Have you ever thought about that, how you would define news? One scholar puts it like this: news is the announcement of something that really happened in the world, whereby the world is now different. You see, so news isn't really, you know, that cute little video of the squirrel water skiing. That's not news. News is the announcement of something that happened in the world, whereby the world is now different. Now, that can be like tiny news, Our team won. Yay. So now the world is a little bit different. We're in the standings. This is where we are. It can be the test came back negative. It's huge news. She said yes. It changes everything. The baby was born. I'm free. Something happened. The war is over. I mean, news, something that happened is announced. And now the world is different. Today is about good news, and I want to share that good news with you, but we have different reactions to good news. Can we just say that? We have different reactions. Some people, because you're cynical, because you've been burned, because of any number of other reasons, because you're longing for it, because you're just naturally optimistic, you'll have all sorts of different reactions to good news. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. It's the week before the 4th of July. It's the first weekend of July. I'll be here. I'll be teaching. We're going to talk about this together. How do we react to this news? It's a big thing. We're going to have some fun. There'll be some stuff that we get to do afterwards. I'll be here. You come back. It'll be good. But we're going to talk about some good news now. In fact, I want to start with this. You've already picked up on the fact that many, many people, I'll tell you at the end, how many people are stepping into the water to tell people about their personal decision to follow Jesus as King, as Lord, as Savior. But you just picked up on the video that there are a number there are young people, like kids, that are saying yes to Jesus, and they're stepping into the water. In fact, here's some good news that you can celebrate at this church. This year, we are baptizing more kids than ever before in the history of the Crossing. Now, listen to me. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Now, for you skeptics out there, let me help you with this. Nobody's being forced into this. These are kids that are old enough that this is their decision and they know what they're doing. They have articulated their faith. They've had to meet with a leader, a pastor, one of our folks in ministry here. They know what they're doing. In fact, we sometimes have these conversations very respectfully and lovingly where we tell the child and the parent, not yet. Let's make sure that we're clear on this. So even with all of those parameters, there are more and more kids that are stepping into the waters to be baptized. Now, what does that mean? It means that we have more and more young families attending these churches, and it's happening at all the sites. But I will tell you that I met with one of our pastors here at Chesterfield, and you know, we're like the old guard. We've been here the longest, so you would kind of think, yeah, maybe they're getting a little, you know, little old, little long in the tooth. The leaders here told me that we have more young families now moving in. There's been this huge influx of young families with their little ones. We have more young families attending just this campus. I know what's happening everywhere than ever before. Do you know what that means? That means God is continuing to do a fresh work here. It means that we really are passing our faith on from generation to generation. I think it explains what's happening in our youth ministries. When you have these powerful stories, I just talked to a young girl that had just come back from camp that was just saying, I'm just blown away by what God is doing in our youth ministry. This is happening around here. And for those of you who are excited, for those of you who go, yay, now I realize some of you just did that out of obligation. The person next to you was really excited and you just were kind of like, okay, you were just polite. But for those of you who were genuinely excited, I want to challenge you on something. God might just be tapping you on the shoulder. Instead of just talking about how the world is just falling apart and this generation doesn't understand, maybe it's time for you to pour into that generation. Maybe God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you get to be involved now. You get to help in our youth or in our kids' ministries. And you can't imagine how much fun you will have and how it will yield results for you. So there's that. God's doing something in our midst and we get to be a part of it. And I can't think of a better weekend to be reminded of that. Because a whole bunch of folks are going to tell the world that they follow this Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one and only. And we're going to celebrate that as family. Can we do that for just a few minutes? I'll tell you some stories. In fact, it sort of explains this setup here. You've kind of seen this, and it's a little like the, you know, little backyard, little back porch, back deck. It's kind of got this sort of vibe to it, and we were trying to do that. My guess is sometime this summer, you're going to sit on some back porch, back deck. You're sitting in the backyard. And maybe you'll have some tea or some lemonade or something else, I don't know, but you're going to be there. And at some point, if it's a family thing, I'll bet you, especially if you don't get together that often, this will happen. Somebody will start taking pictures. So can I get you guys here? You guys just all scritch together here. Yeah, so. And there it is. Okay. One, two, three. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I think this means that there's no film in this thing. So, and doesn't that always happen too? Right? So grandma's like, I'm pushing the button. So, yeah, so... I'm not going to look at anybody in our tech area right now because they're all, they don't want to make eye contact with me. So, here's the thing. You will take pictures and you'll want to capture this. And in just a minute, we're going to ask you, if you would, to go out back in each of our lobbies and each of our areas and maybe just take some pictures and be a part of the family album. So there's that. The second thing that happens when you guys hang out together, especially if it's family, is that somebody will eventually start telling stories. It's just what humans do. And you'll laugh and you'll celebrate and you'll cry. And it's stories. So what we want to do now is to tell some stories of our good and gracious God. But listen to me, none of these stories will make sense if Jesus isn't who he claimed to be, who the scriptures say that he is. In John chapter 1, we've been studying this. This will be the third week now. But we read that he is the one and only. He is the Son of God who is himself God. So this Jesus is God, and he is God with us. He has walked the planet as one of us. God entered the story. We've been talking about his names. We've been talking about the titles of Jesus these last few weeks. Songs have referenced it. We just did it again. It's a moment where we are reminded of just how big Jesus is. And sometimes the way that we're reminded is by his names and his titles. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. He is the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Righteousness, the chief cornerstone, the resurrection and the life. He is the Lamb of God and the Son of God and the Son of Man and the Lord of all. He is Lord God Almighty. He is the way, he is the truth, the life, he is the light of the world, he is the head of the church, he is the man of sorrows, the Prince of Peace. He is rabbi and teacher and master and shepherd and savior and advocate, redeemer, righteous. He's the bright and morning star. I could go on. He is so many things that we can't even describe him. But I will tell you this. When these folks step into the water tonight, they will be telling you who this Jesus is to them. They could go through a whole list of the names and the greatness and the descriptions of Jesus, and every one of them would cling to one and go, that's my Jesus. That's who he is for me. That's what we're going to celebrate today. So we're going to tell stories. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to have some fun. Agreed? Here's what we'll do. Would one of you now just pray for us, kind of get us started, and then we're going to jump right in. Anybody here want to pray?
Sure.
Okay, please do.
God, we just are so grateful that we get to be here to celebrate and to worship you today. We are asking that you would help us to hear what you have for us today. That you are the God that pursues us, that you don't give up on us, that you make us new. God, we can't say enough about you. Would you help us to hear today. Take away any distraction that might want to come between what you have to say, what we need to hear. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So lots of different titles, lots of different things we could say about Jesus. He is the restorer. He is the healer. Isaiah, Peter, they both talk about this promised one bringing healing to us. Right. It's not just physical healing. It is that, but it's even more. And Tim, I know as you guys have read through the stories, I just wanted to tee you up because a lot of these stories have to do with a kind of healing.
Absolutely. And sometimes it can be a spiritual healing. It can be a healing in relationships, all kinds of things that Jesus moves into. So this is a guy who says, I was raised Jewish. I went through Hebrew school, bar mitzvah when I was young. He grows up. He didn't really have a faith of his own, but he meets this woman who is Catholic, and they get married, so they're trying to navigate that in their relationship. Now, years go by, and he says their marriage hits rock bottom. Those are his words. Without going into a lot of detail, they get to a place where he's actually now moved in with a friend for a little while as they kind of sort things out, and this friend invites him to the crossing. So he comes and he begins to ask questions, try to figure out what is going on, how he's going to put this back together. He says, over the past year, I have worked very hard to accept Jesus into my life, to repent for my sin. I love this part. Sought forgiveness from my wife, my kids, friends, family, and I have become a Christian. I know that I still have questions. I think I always will. That is simply who I am. And I also know that the answers can be found in Jesus. You talk about healing. He says, my wife and I have a better relationship than we ever had. I have professed my acceptance of Jesus as my Lord and Savior to my family and friends, and I am excited to shout it out to the world.
After reading, Tim is holding a few of them in his hand. I have a few in my hand. But after reading hundreds of baptism applications, a few themes came out, and that is one of the themes of healing, especially of brokenness of trust in the family unit. Somehow the family unit was broken in multiple ways. So, okay, that's broken. How am I supposed to re-enter into the family of God? I don't know what that looks like, and I'm not even sure it's safe.
Yeah.
So that was a big theme that came
out. So when you say family of God, though, that is loaded language. I know what you mean. I don't know, and I don't think you used that term before, but that's loaded. Like, here we are. It's Father's Day, and for many of you, it's like, yes, this is a good day. But for some of us, it's a difficult day. For some of us, when we talk about family, it's not like there's an ache. There's a longing instead of a celebration. See, we need to admit all of this because God's big enough to handle all of this. Like when we were setting these services up, and you can imagine this stuff takes a lot of planning and a lot of stuff. And by the way, that whole camera thing, I threw that curve on them. They had no idea. So it's not them. That's on me. But the whole thing here is we plan these deals. And Aaron, we were in one of these planning sessions recently, and people started getting all excited about how all of this was going to be decorated and how we were putting this together. It's like, oh, I remember family reunions. I remember everybody hanging out. And sooner or later, somebody starts telling stories and, oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. And you got real quiet at the end of the table.
Yeah, that's right. If you remember, I told part of my story a couple of months ago about how my parents were killed 17 years ago. And there aren't reunions in my life. You know, there's just nobody to come over on those special days.
And you said something that kind of triggered me then, because you said,
it's been 17 years of Father's Day without my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And then all of a sudden, I remember looking at you and going, this will be my first Father's Day without my dad.
Yeah.
And so these things kind of settle in, and I know I'm not alone on this. I know I'm not alone on this. It's like, oh, wow, and it's real.
Yeah.
But there is such a comfort that I don't have to even wrestle with this alone. Because in John chapter 1, we read this a couple of weeks ago, to all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, do you know what that means? It means you get welcomed into the family of God. Doesn't matter if you've got a great family, a not great family, you are welcomed into the family. You even said, really, now this is your extended family right here. So, Jude, these are kinds of stories that we hear. You want to go ahead?
This one reminds me of your story. My father was killed at a work construction site when I was 5 years old. I ended up growing in a home that did not attend church. Years go by, that's when he was 5. Years go by, in 7th grade, he comes here to youth camp. He meets a girl who years later they start dating. Her and her family introduced me regularly to attending church. It took me over a year, but I went from being cynical about church and religion to a complete 180 turnaround. He ends up surrendering his life to Jesus, and on his baptism application, he said, I'm excited to make a public statement of my faith in Jesus. Now, when you read it, all the credit he gives is to this family that took him in.
Yeah.
And they just said, we're going to adopt you as one of our own and show you what it's like to live with Jesus. And it's just pretty amazing. And just so you know, they got married.
Sweet. Yeah. So the gospel then is this good news that we are welcomed into the family of God. Now, let me just help you with this gospel business. Because nobody will ever say it to you this way, but I'm afraid sometimes we receive it this way. Some people think the gospel sounds something like this. There is an angry God who built this, and we broke it, and we're in trouble. And begrudgingly, he gave us an escape clause so he didn't have to start over. By the way, it turns out that it's his son, and if you'll turn to him, at least you're off the hook. But he's still angry. You still have to worry. You're not really sure where you stand with him, but that's the good news. Is there anything about that that sounds like good news? Listen to me. We talked about this in that Genesis series back in the fall. But the eternal, unimaginable God created all of this out of love. He created it so that we could enjoy his creation, so that we could enjoy each other, so that we could enjoy relationship with him. He created us so that we would flourish in this world and care for creation. That's part of what it means for us to be in the image of God. We're supposed to help make things happen in this world, but somewhere along the way, things got horribly off track. And yes, that does have to do with our rebellion. And yes, we do need Jesus to step in. And yes, that the cross is absolutely a part of this story. But please understand what God wants more than anything is to welcome you back, to restore you, to love you, to connect you to what he is doing, because he is still up to something in this world. God isn't an angry God. God loves you and wants you to be a part of this. He wants you to know him. And in some ways, it does come down to that. It comes down to grace. It comes down to a different life than you thought you could have. Now, I want to start telling you some stories along the way of this God who has redeemed us. So I'm actually, and each one of these services has been different, and I ask different questions, and I go in different ways. It explains the look of fear on all of their faces. These folks back here are used to it on these teams. But I'd like to just read a story for you. This is from someone, this may throw things off at the sites. I don't think it will. But let me just read a story for you. This woman, I believe she was from, she's Chesterfield. My relationship with God was basically non-existent in the sense that I always believed in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but I never rested in that belief as a young adult. It wasn't until these last couple of years of attending the Crossing that it hit me. God loves me. Once you know you are loved by our King, you begin to see life differently. Now, she goes on to describe some pretty tough stuff in her life, particularly around a marriage that, let's just say, not good. Not good things are happening to this woman, and she and her 18-year-old daughter now are going to have to face some things. She says, I had to hit the bottom of the lowest, darkest valley in my life in order to see the shining light in the distance of God's glory and love. I remember a time last year I attended a service by myself, the one when the pastor from Zimbabwe visited and he sang Amazing Grace. Do you guys remember that service? He sang Amazing Grace, and I asked Lindani, he's somebody that we'll see in a month, but I said, will you please do what you do for me in Africa? Because he is like a brother to me. I said, will you just sing over us the way you do there? And so he sang Amazing Grace, and then all of a sudden, Kenny's playing for him, and if you were here, really, any of the sites during communion, then he starts singing in Shona, his language. Tsitsi dinon dinashima. Amazing Grace, how sweet this sounds. So it's like, it was a thing. And so, do you want to hear that? Anybody want to hear that? Okay, can we play that? Please, let's do that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sun that saved a wretch like me.
She said, this pastor from Zimbabwe visited and he sang Amazing Grace, and I sat in my seat and I listened to him with a smile on my face and tears in my eyes, and I was soaking in that moment of joy. Then as people were leaving, I began thinking about how much I didn't want to go home. I was thinking about money. I was thinking about how I can't even afford to be a single mom again because I knew the divorce was coming. I sat there thinking about those things, not wanting to go home, and then the crowd in front of me started walking outside, and the door moved slowly, and a young African-American man in a white shirt looked at me and pointed and said, God will provide. God will provide for you. She said, I looked at everybody around to see if they noticed him or if they were fazed by this direct comment, and nobody seemed to even notice. I went through the crowd. I tried to find him out in the lobby. He was nowhere to be found. At that moment, I left and I got in my car and I sobbed and I sobbed because I was ready to give my life, to give everything to God because he is the one who promises to provide for me. If the God of the universe promises to come for me, tiny, sinful, and then she uses her name, then who am I to say, no, I'll do this myself? I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. Between being a single mom, master student, full-time nurse, homemaker, there's no way I can do any of this without God. He has shown me daily that I can trust him. He has shown me daily that he can be trusted. God's grace comes to me even in my worst moments. And I am so undeserving and so incredibly grateful. This woman will be in the water tonight. Again, there's a word here that she used. There's a word here that our brother sang. It is the word grace. The word grace means that you can't do this on your own. You can't make yourself acceptable. You can't make God love you any more than he already does. Part of what that means is you and I have to get to a place where we let go of this outrageous assumption that we can make things right. Now, that's frustrating for some of us. It's humbling. We surrender. But it is also incredibly liberating because it is the great equalizer. Let me tell you what you will see tonight. You will see a whole bunch of folks, again, I'll tell you at the end how many, but you'll see a whole bunch of folks step into the water and they will cover a wide range of life experiences, of athletic abilities and artistic abilities and musical abilities and intellectual capacities, financial resources. They'll cover the gamut on this. In fact, you won't even really be able to tell where anybody is on any of those continuums usually. Every now and then you'll be able to kind of deduce, okay, so this one probably lands someplace on this end of it. But you need to know every one of those people, every one of them, young, old, married, single, black, white, brown, educated, maybe not as educated, rich, not as rich. Been around the church their whole life, never been in a church before. Every one of them will have come to a place where they have articulated their faith to one of us here and told us who this Jesus is and who he is to them. He is their Redeemer. He is their Savior. He is their Lord. He is their King. Now, those are some words that we could talk about. He's our Rescuer. That's a big word around here, right?
Yeah, huge word. And it comes up in some of these stories. There's one of a woman here, a young woman who says she didn't grow up in a family that regularly attended church. She said, I saw a Bible at our house, but that was it. It never mentioned God, heaven, any of that. So she eventually makes her way to the crossing and signs up for our explorations class. So we have this illustration that we do in our explorations class. Darnella, will you help me? We say that Jesus is your rescuer, and what we mean is that he reaches out to rescue you, but you have to grab a hold of his hand in order to make this work. So she says, these are her words. Last fall, I verbally and physically reached my hand out to Jesus and have felt him holding on in return ever since. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Can I tell a story of just the opposite?
Sure.
That was a woman who stepped into community and struggled finding her faith in explorations. This is a guy that came here for 2 years, never spoke or talked to anybody. Okay. He came every weekend. He said that the music drew him in and the messages, he listened to every single message every weekend, but he would leave, not talk to anybody. Finally, a few weeks ago, he meets with a pastor and says, I think I put the details together that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He says this in his baptism application. By the way, in that meeting, he prayed to receive Jesus with that pastor at the foot of one of our crosses. He says in his baptism application, my religious background has made turning to Jesus very difficult, but I am there, and deep in my heart, I know this is right. He wrote that because he grew up Jewish.
Yeah.
And so he had to put the puzzle pieces together saying, is Jesus the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy? And he did, and then he writes, what does baptism mean to you? I am truly celebrating that Jesus is now a part of me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the footnote on that is, at the end of the last service, he came up to us and he heard her read that story. Now, remember, he hasn't talked to anybody in 2 years. He hears her reading that story and he turns to the person sitting next to him who doesn't know him and he goes, that's my story.
So
you get to a place where you can't, you can't not share these things, right?
Awesome.
I mean, these are such good stories. In fact, what I want to do now is, if we could, is I want to throw this to the side. So we want to give you a chance to tell some stories. Campus pastors, you've got some things you want to share. And then when you're done, and it'll happen on your own time, you come back and you join us. You'll probably hit us in mid-sentence, and that's okay. Just catch up, and we'll end together. Okay, so I'm going to throw it to Mid Rivers, Fenton, and Grants Trail now. All right, so for those of us here, are there any other stories that we want to tell? Is there anything, Jude, I know you've got one, I think, did you have any, like, well, I think there was one I was going to ask you to tell, but while you're finding it, what's your favorite part of these stories? You guys that have been around here a while.
How courageous people are when they walk in the classes of explorations.
So for you, it's about explorations, because that's a big deal. And when they come in, what do you mean by courageous?
Just as adults, we have so much cynicism, and people just come in around a table of strangers and reveal their struggles, and it's so humbling.
And I think it's nothing's cookie cutter about it. It's not, this is how you come to Christ. Each person will come in such a very unique way. That's how God wanted to reach to them.
So when you hear these baptism stories, like what sparks you there? I want people to be able to react to this good news. Anybody got anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's what Tony just said, is I love hearing all the different ways that people come to Jesus around here, because it's not always with a pastor down front after a service, but it happens in people's living rooms and in coffee houses and in classes and all over the place. I love that.
Yeah. And it's really cool just to see the journey. I mean, everyone has that moment where, you know, they realize, okay, this is real, he's real, and, you know, but we've all had that journey where we didn't believe, and to hear those stories and to see how they came from this place to this place, it's just awesome.
So when you say that, Darnella, one of the things that I read in these stories, and we haven't talked about this, is that so many of these people will reach back to this moment a previous year. It's kind of like you get really encouraged. Some of you are at a place where you're trying to piece all this together. I hope more than anything you hear that God is patient, that God is hunting you down. God is pursuing you with his love. And it's okay to ask these questions. And people just know it's okay. Let's ask, let's seek, let's figure this out.
Yeah, for me, it's you hear it like at the end of the stories, and you see it on their faces when they're getting baptized, but it's just like an unfiltered joy. You know?
I love that. Unfiltered joy. World could use a little bit more of that, couldn't it, Justin? Yeah. All right, let me give you a story. This is from a woman in Fenton, and this is what she says. I was wrapped in the bondage of fear at a young age. Specifically, I feared God. After hearing the story of Noah and the Great Flood in a children's Bible, the people around me didn't have any biblical knowledge to help me understand that story, so I believed bad things happened because God was angry. I feared God. I tried to be perfect so he'd be happy with me and leave me alone. When I had children, the stress of trying to be perfect to protect them became even heavier. A fearful child had now become an anxious adult. I tried to be strong, keep it together, tried to hide my anxiety behind a smiling face. As a young adult, she kind of shared some of this with her friends who are Christ followers, and they, meaning well, they bought her a Bible and said, here, you need to just read this. She said, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to start with any of this. I didn't find what they were talking about. And so I eventually threw the Bible to the back of my closet, out of sight, out of mind. Now, she went through some struggles herself and some things, and she just remembers that one day getting to the end of herself, standing at the kitchen sink, washing dishes and sobbing. And while she was sobbing, she prayed. This isn't someone who prayed, but she prayed. And there was this peace that came over her that, okay, this is going to go someplace now. I'm going to find him. And so she begins a journey to find, it's what you were saying, Darnella, a journey to find some answers and to find even a place where she can do this. She eventually gets to the crossing, and she started to soak up the services. She started to just listen and enjoy and think and ask and all of these things. And then she has a child, and she takes some time off maternity leave. So now she's got a lot of time at home when the little one's napping and things like that. And she said, I went back on Roku with my laptop and watched every service I could get my hands on, just going through and learning what I could learn. In fact, she said, I took the laptop with me from room to room as I was doing work in the house. One day, she said, it was an exciting time, but she said, one day, it kind of went off in my head while I was mopping the floor. See, she had told us when she came to this church, like where she had grown up, Jesus was not emphasized, and she said, I just didn't get all the Jesus talk. Like, all you guys do is talk about Jesus. But she's listening, taking her laptop with her wherever she's going in her house. And she said, while I was mopping the floor one day, it hit me. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They call him a savior because he saves. It's not my job to save anyone or anything. A lifetime of heaviness and pressure was lifted almost immediately. He's God. I'm not. I'm not perfect. I never will be. But I now have a freedom because I'm trusting him. I'm following Christ. And that's what baptism is. I'm telling the world that I belong to him. Now, gang, when I read stories like that, it gives me great comfort because even in my life, there are times that I need God to pursue me. I need God to come find me. I need God to help me with things. And it gives me hope, and it gives me, here's a word for you, peace. Unfiltered joy, totally agree with you, Justin, but it gives me peace. Now, Jude, tell us that story.
Well, here's a story of a woman who needed the peace because she struggled with anxiety. So listen for that theme. I was raised in a devout, faith-filled family. My mother had a wonderful relationship with God. It was remarkable the trust and love she had for Jesus. I began to seek that kind of relationship. She ends up moving to different cities, checking out different churches, moves to St. Louis. Few people invited her to the Crossing. The Crossing is one of the first places where I felt something when I attended. I felt a passion, part of what I had been searching for. After attending 2.5 years, I felt closer to Christ than I'd ever been, but I was having trouble advancing to the next step. So she signs up for Explorations. Through the interactions with my table, I learned that I did not have to have all the answers or understand everything to accept Jesus. I was still fearful to accept him because I was worried if I did, nothing would change, nothing would happen, the anxiety wouldn't go away. That fear, as well as she was afraid I don't understand the Bible. You know, I can't accept him without understanding the Bible. But she didn't give up. She kept talking to her Explorations facilitators, her table. And she says, I read small bite-sized pieces of the Bible. Then one evening, she reads something about anxiety. I read that the cure for anxiety was being with God. And through that came a realization. What I had been searching for to help me find him was him. I was not going to get any closer to finding Jesus without Jesus. So on the evening of May 25th, 2018, I finally said the words out loud, I accept Christ.
Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, I was actually, I was sitting on a couch next to her Explorations facilitator when she got that text. Robin, I've accepted Christ. You see, what we do around here is we celebrate this together because many of us understand this. I mean, what's going to satisfy the ache in your heart? What is it that can actually bear the weight of the full longing of your soul? Work? Money? Doing something really, really well? I mean, those are all great things, but none of them will satisfy the longing of your soul. It's only Jesus, and it becomes very, very personal. And when you step into this story with him, you are a new creation. You are a different person. There was an ancient writer, a guy by the name of Maximus the Confessor. How is that for a name? I am Maximus the Confessor. Now, that doesn't mean he is going around, hey, can I just tell you what I did wrong? That's not that, I don't mean that kind of confessing. I mean, he confessed who Jesus was, and he said, when you follow this king, this resurrected Lord, he said, something begins to happen in you. These are his words, it is a new way of being human. You got a new life. Let me tell you about somebody that it took a while for them to believe this. You know, I make this joke around here, and I know it doesn't apply to you. It's somebody else. But it's kind of funny to me how people, we started this church actually started at a high school, but then it wasn't long before we started meeting at the YMCA here in Chesterfield, and there was a community theater and all of that. And the joke is that it seems like everybody was at the Y, because I just talk to people all the time, and they go, yeah, we were with you at the Y, and I'm like, really? I mean, it was a small room. I mean, I don't know how we all fit in there. It's kind of like Woodstock. Everybody was there, okay? So, but this guy really was at the Y. Now, let me just explain, or let me just read his words, and it will help you understand just how good and patient God is. There's a guy in his 30s now, and he said, I didn't grow up with any kind of religious upbringing. My parents resented the churches they grew up in, didn't want my brother and I to go through anything like that. They move into a neighborhood that was heavily influenced, his words, by a nearby church. When the neighbors found out we didn't practice any faith, we became a focal point for neighborhood gossip and anger that later turned to acts of vandalism and aggression. A neighbor we were with who was friendly to us and attended the church informed us that, and this is a quote, we wouldn't have these problems if we just went to that church, end quote. He begins to write off God. If this is what God is like, I don't want any part of him. In college, he comes across Christians who are just can't believe that he doesn't believe. Meanwhile, he says they're drinking, getting high, and sleeping around. He said, everywhere I went, there were reflections of these Christians and God, and I wanted nothing to do with them. Around that time, I got a job at a local community theater inside a YMCA. One of my duties was to supervise this teeny tiny little church that met on Sunday mornings. I informed my boss this was a bad fit. I knew how it would go. They would ask me what I believe. I would say I didn't. They would tell me I am going to hell. I would then tell them to go to... Well, you see where this is going. Then I would have to find a new job, except that's not what happened. The first Sunday I worked for the Crossing, I remember this little 5-foot-tall woman with 4 feet of hair getting up at the offering time and saying, this offering is not for people who are new here. If you don't know Jesus, we don't want your money. For us, this is an act of worship. Well, now that's different, I thought. He said, but over time, there were many more different things. These people knew that I didn't believe. They knew where I stood on things, but they accepted me and welcomed me, and they were okay with my questions all the way along the way. He said, I watched this church build its first home in Chesterfield. I watched Fenton happen. I watched Mid Rivers happen. This guy was there for the ground floor. I mean, he saw it all, but he said, I stayed connected, his words, because I wanted to see where this thing was going. Along the way, he got more and more questions answered. He said, I am grateful for a group of friends, a network of friends here, young 20-somethings at that time, who would just take on whatever questions he had, mentors who were older than him, who would take on whatever questions he had. I was grateful because I started to believe, but I had these yeah buts. Okay, so there's God, yeah, but... And then he would ask these questions, but they were patient. They helped him. They answered his questions. He said, somewhere along the way, I began to realize my problem with God wasn't with God. My problem was with people, and people aren't perfect. I know it sounds obvious, but that was a big breakthrough for me. I spent more years seeking out. My heart is softening. I could ask all of these questions, and somewhere along the way, I realized I had accepted Jesus. Then comes the question of baptism. Am I going to do this or not? More yeah buts, yeah buts, yeah buts. But these patient people, these loving people, he said, after a couple more years, I began to realize I'm going to do this. There will always be things I struggle with inside my faith. It won't always make sense, and I won't have all the answers, but I can bring all of these issues to God through prayer, and I'm good with that now. In your own words, what does baptism mean to you? Baptism is a way for me to publicly express my faith in Jesus. That was a story 20 years in the making. If you're hanging out here and going, I wonder if my friend would ever show up. If you're hanging out here and wondering, I wonder if it's okay for me to ask those questions. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. One more and then we're done. You know, we have permission to read all of these stories. We don't tell you the names. You don't need to know them unless you know these people or unless they're sitting next to you and go, hey, that's my story. But we have permission, and this one in particular, I think, I just wanted you to know that we double, triple checked on this to make sure that she was okay with this. And she is, as long as you hear the punchline to the story. So this is a little girl attending Grant's Trail. Now, one of the things you would notice if you went through all of these stories is, there's a lot of action in the water tonight for Grant's Trail, all right? How cool is that? Yes. Mid Rivers, of course. Fenton, of course. But Grant's Trail, I mean, they're barely in the game and that's happening. So this family starts attending Grant's Trail once it had opened. And this little girl who's just graduated fifth grade, now moving into sixth grade, attended Sunday like they always did. This particular Sunday was the Sunday they were explaining what baptism is and what it isn't, because baptism isn't what changes your standing before a holy God. It's a personal trust thing. Baptism is a beautiful picture of what happens after. It's you telling the world the decision you've already made. You know what we say around here. But it was that particular weekend. Now, what had happened right before then is this little girl had been diagnosed with a very serious melanoma. They hadn't had a chance to consult with the doctors yet. They hadn't had a chance to hear what the treatment plans are. In the words that were given to me, it was all very new and unknown and terrifying. That Sunday, when she heard about what Jesus did for her, she decided right then and there that she needed him to be her savior. Now, when mom went to pick her up the way she always did, and she sees her at Kids Crossing at Grant's Trail, kneeling down, praying with Mr. Nick, mom just assumed, ah, she must have told him about the cancer. Good. We need those prayers. She didn't realize her daughter was making the decision of a lifetime. But when mom gets close and she understands and learned what was happening, she drops down. And she begins to pray. And both of them are being baptized tonight. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not telling you these stories to get you all sentimental and choked up and whatever, although it's okay for you to. I'm telling you these stories because they're real, because these are people who are trusting in God. You pray for this girl. Pray that the side effects from the medication and the treatment that is now happening, pray that there aren't side effects. I'm telling you, she's serious about this. One of the first things they did was to say, okay, can we cover up this port that's delivering all of this stuff to kill the bad stuff? Because I'm getting in the water to be baptized. She'll be in the water tonight. But here it is. Here's what she doesn't want you to think. You see, she wants people to know that she is more than a little girl with cancer. Here it is. She is a child of the King first. Now, you know what that is? That's childlike faith. But that is ruthless trust, and it is staggering courage, and it is a hope that does not disappoint. That's the story we tell around here. That's the very, very good news. And I'm afraid even now, after we go through all of this, some of us will look at this and still see it from a distance. For some of you, it is not too late for you to begin to turn towards Jesus. Let's have that conversation now. For some of you, honestly, who were a part of this church and you knew Jesus a long time ago, you're still looking at this and you're seeing it as their stories or her story. No, it's our story. If you belong to the kingdom of God, then you should celebrate this with us. Yes, I'm inviting you to come back tonight. Yes, it will be hot. Yes, we paid our bills. The air conditioning will work. You can come inside. You can go outside. We'll do it. I promise you. But more than anything, I want you to know that this is your story. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that your work is not in vain. See, when you labor in the Lord, it is not in vain. Do you know what that means? That means every prayer you prayed, every time you volunteered and showed up, every time you served, every time you answered a middle schooler's question in that small group, every time you changed a diaper or held a crying baby, every time you helped somebody park cars when the weather wasn't that great, every time you showed up for a class, every time you chose in this community to pick your words wisely and to not return fire, every time that you were a bridge builder, knowing that bridges get walked on, every time you chose to not gossip but to champion someone, every time that you did something private and difficult that nobody else knows about, but you were following the King, every time God says, I'll use that to restore my creation. What you are doing is not in vain. You're not crazy for caring this much. You're not crazy for loving this much. You're not crazy for being generous with your resources and your time and your emotions. I am telling you, there will come a moment at the end of all time when God will connect the dots and you will know that it was not in vain. But until then, there are these glimpses of heaven. Unfiltered joy. And for some reason, God continues to pour out his blessing on this church of many locations. He's doing it again. The kingdom is breaking out in our midst. We should react to that good news. We should celebrate. In fact, I'm going to ask a whole bunch of people to come back out, and we're going to do just that. In just a second, you can join us outside. But let's celebrate. You see, the whole thing wraps up in the story of Jesus. It's his life and his death and his resurrection. But gang, I need you to know something profound here at the end of this. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, and I really do believe that happened literally. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, something happened and the universe was fundamentally different. The king lives and he punched a hole in the back of evil and suffering and death, and he gets the last word now. And God will one day do through us what he did to Jesus. We will be resurrected. And baptism is a picture of that new life, of that resurrection. So you look for those faces, you look for those stories, you remember that we do this together, but gang, it's all because of him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Ancient of Days who presides over every nation, every tribe, every tongue. He is Lord. He is King. He has no rival. He has no equal. And I think he deserves our praise because this is really good news. Will you stand with me one more time and let's worship this King?